Sabbath resting. Keeping the Sabbath is my delight. I'm Stefan Yah on YahvehYahweh.name. From Psalm 16, verse 3 now. But to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is my delight. This is Psalm 16, verse 3. To the saints that are in the earth, to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Psalm 37, delight thyself also in Yahweh, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight thyself also in Yahovah. Romans 7, for I delight in the law of Yahovah, after the inward man. And Psalm 1, but his delight is in the law of Yahovah, and in his law does he meditate night and day. Be not like the radio preacher who complains about that old Jewish law being above Yahweh's law and different variations of there. But agree with the word today that we're going to be a delight in Yahweh's eyes. And as Psalm 37, verse 4 said, delight thyself also in Yahweh. That in verse 11 it says, but the meek shall inherit the earth, just like that beatitude in Matthew chapter 5. But this is Psalm 37. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Then in chapter 40, down here at the 8th verse, as you turn in your scriptures, I delight to do thy will, O my Yah. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And by the way, Yah there is Hebrew number 3050. Yod Hey, and it's pronounced Yah and spelled Y-A-H. I delight to do thy will. Then in Psalm 119, King David says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And verse 47 of Psalm 119, I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Hebrews 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. This is in the New Testament, Hebrews 4. And Yahweh did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. They didn't enter in to Yahweh's rest because of unbelief. Again, he specifies a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if the Messiah had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Remaineth therefore a rest to the people of Yahweh, or the people of Elohim there. In Jeremiah chapter 6, thus saith Yahweh, stand you in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. They would not listen. Somewhat like today, in many westernized neo-evangelical churches, the assemblies, the teachers might say, have it your way. We should let Yahweh's word have his way, more weight than your basic armchair teacher out there. And if you were learning flight training, if you had signed up for flight training, and to your shock, there were no instructions how to fly the airplane, and furthermore, no instructor, would not you feel like you were going to solo and then crash the plane? Are you looking for a higher plane in the Word, or are you looking for a way out? We're looking for the Word. Exodus 24. Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which Yahweh has said, will we do. And that was their pledge. That's what they wanted to do. Of course, we don't completely are able to follow up with our promises there, but that's their desire. All the words which Yahweh has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh, and rose up early in the morning, and built an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And then in the previous chapter, in Shemot 23:12, regarding the feasts, 6 days shalt thou work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and thy stranger may be refreshed. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. Make no mention of the name of other Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. So there's a big problem there, that when we refuse, after hearing the word and studying it, we refuse to use Yahweh's name, and we'll put another in there, such as Jesus Christos. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect, and make no mention of the name of other Elohim, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. 3 times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. That was Exodus 23, one of the judgments of Yahweh, one of the privileges that we should delight in Yahweh and in his feasts, especially Passover, the first feast of the year at Aviv 14. I'll tell you about that later. But opposed to Passover is the Sunday morning breakfast. Out of the holidays of the nations, and it could be out of character at the Tabernacles time, at Sukkot time, for a feast goer to bring holiday presents to Sukkot, to the Feast of Tabernacles. Wouldn't that really be out of order? There wouldn't be any shopping for presents for Tabernacles. No holiday lights, no drunkenness, nor singing songs claiming that Messiah was born on a midnight clear. A false weather report, and adding to the word of Yahweh, nor does it tell us what time of night or day that Messiah was born in the scriptures. The song Silent Night again adds to scripture by telling that it was at night, and it was not necessarily at night, nor that it was quiet or not. It wasn't necessarily a silent night or a silent day. But, well, that's a very small, minute point compared to some of the great errors of the keeping of Christ Mass in substitution of Yahweh's feasts that we just heard commanded here, and especially that seventh-day Sabbath day. What a wonderful time to keep. And it's not so good. It's an abomination to keep the pagan feast days, the substitutes for Yahweh's feasts. And another problem with a reconstituted pagan holiday, Christmas, is the annual, the putting of the King of Kings back in the crib as a defenseless Messiah who needs a human to protect him. Because in comparison to that, we look at the Revelation chapter 1 now. So as we jump in with both feet, and we desire to be with Yahweh, and dedicate our lives and our heart, soul, mind, and strength to serve Yahweh, do you suppose someone would want to go back to Egypt? As we read the word of Yahweh, and we see the way that man has made these substitutions. So in Revelation chapter 1, it's not a poor, defenseless, little crying baby, so precious. In chapter 1, verse 13, referring to the Messiah, and in the midst of the 7 candlesticks was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the chest with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he had 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the Aleph and the Tav, the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Hallel. And have the keys of hell and of death. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 10, and now also John said, the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Verse 11 in Matthew was about baptism. And then referring to the sovereign authority of Messiah, we continue to read in verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, that's F-A-N, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And John added in chapter 1 of Yochanan, chapter 1, he it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes, latches, I am not worthy to unloose, the latches of the shoe, the shoelace, or the strap, rather, whose shoes latcheth, I am not worthy to unloose. So a short description there of the King of all kings, the mighty one, the creator of the universe, according to Hebrews 1, Colossians 1, Genesis 1, and John 1. Back to the Psalm 119, concerning his Torah, his law, Messiah's Torah gave to Moses, who gave it to us, to all Israel. Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live, for thy Torah is my delight. Verse 174, I have longed for thy salvation, O Yahweh, and thy law is my delight. That was found in the 119th Psalm. And Yahweh is in the Hebrew Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, and can be pronounced Yahovah or Yahweh. And thy law, which in many cases can be Torah, and not speaking of the sacrificial law, but of Yahweh's Ten Commandments, statutes, and judgments. Yes, I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. But I want to pull away from this reading of scriptures for a moment to go to Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster, and on the 24th page about Passover, the Passover dispute between the Western Church and the more scriptural adhering believers of the Near East was finally settled. And so prior to that, Polycarp, the disciple of the Apostle John, had learned from the Apostle John himself that the 14th of Aviv was the scriptural day of the year. That's the first month of the scriptural year, according to Exodus and Leviticus. And I don't know. I have a study on that. That's off the top of my head. But from John, that the 14th of Aviv was the scriptural day of the year, which had been legislated in the Old Testament to determine the onset of the Passover on the 14th day of the first month of the new year in spring year. Our Savior kept that same night that he was betrayed. So Polycarp, Polycrates, and Apollinaris and others contended for the correct calculation of the Passover Memorial Supper and the events following it, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Messiah, to be reckoned as beginning from the 14th of Aviv at even. So that's as much as I will read from that portion. And then he wound up by saying, let us, there's the let us again, rather, let us commemorate our Savior's memorial Passover and the subsequent events according to the scriptural calendar, starting on the evening of 14th of Aviv. Let us repent and eliminate the pagan Easter, the Astarte festival, or as they face the east on that sunrise morning, as the pagans always did. Let us repent of that and keep it more properly on the 17th of Aviv at the end of that day. That would be after 3 nights and 3 days. Messiah was in the grave 3 days and 3 nights. Then a couple of pages later, in Come Out of Her, My People, Sir James Frazer wrote, if the Mithraic Mithraic mysteries were indeed a Satan copy of a divine original, we are driven to conclude that Christianity took a leaf out of the devil's notebook when it fixed the birth of the Savior on the 25th of December, for there can be no doubt that the day in question was celebrated as the birthday of the sun by the heathen before the church and transferred the nativity from the Feast of Tabernacles. And in fact, many of the heathen deities were said to have been born on the 25th of December, and including Mithra, Horus, Osiris, Hercules, Dionysus, Bacchus, Tammuz, Indra, and Buddha. We also read of the Scandinavian goddess Frigga, in whose honor a Mother Night festival was held at the winter solstice, as well as at the similar great feast of Yule, where a boar was offered to the winter solstice in honor of Frey, F-R-E-Y. And the three great days of Christianity today is practiced by most, namely Sunday, Easter, and Christmas, all three having had its origin in the sun worship of the pagan nations. Could we return to the original, to the scriptural days of Yahweh? Passover, Pentecost, and Sukkot, three great feasts and high days. But how did we wind up this way? How did these nations serve their mighty ones? Deuteronomy 12, verse 30, and Deuteronomy 12, verse 30, Yahweh says, how did these nations, you're not supposed to ask how the nations serve their mighty ones in order to be like them. I also will do likewise. And that's exactly what Yahweh the Mighty One forbade his people to do. The keeping of days, especially the days of festivities, is perhaps the most popular among all religions. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, at the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which Yahweh your Elohim has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven. And some versions say as a heritage, some say for them to worship. So in other words, to be given over to worship a pagan deity. And so they have a choice to be decisive and discriminate and to study the word. We have a choice to make, either serve Yahweh or serve Baal. Well, enough and away from that, and back now to the scriptures on this program about the Sabbath is a delight. In Isaiah 55, ho, everyone that thirsts, come you to the waters, and he that has no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which doesn't satisfy? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. That's Isaiah 55, Messiah is speaking there for the Father. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Ezekiel 37. Now, moving from Isaiah for just a moment for one verse. 37:24. Messiah said, Yahweh through his son said to us, and David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments, and observe my statutes and do them. This he said regarding this new covenant, also found in Ezekiel 36, the chapter before this, in Hebrews 8 and Hebrews 10 and other places as well. Then in Isaiah 58, three chapters later, let's turn over here, and in 58 now. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my pure day, if in other words, if you keep the Sabbath, is the way it should be worded, and turning away from doing your pleasure, that is, extra scriptural pleasures, from doing thy pleasure on my pure day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the pure of Yahweh, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in Yahweh. If we call the Sabbath a delight, he shall delight, thou shalt delight thyself in Yahweh. You will delight in him. I will delight in Yahweh. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. Yes, don't forget, he said also, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Have your lantern trimmed and have plenty of oil. The oil of the Spirit, the Ruach HaKadosh. Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And it also in Isaiah, before we finish up and go to the wise and the foolish virgins in Matthew, let us go to chapter 65, I think it is here. In Isaiah, or Yeshayahu, more properly, in Hebrew chapter 65, verse 4, that's Isaiah 64 again. Have you noticed this verse? Those that eat swine's flesh and broth of abominable things is in their vessels. Have you looked up the word abominable? Here it is. Hebrew words, pigo, 6292, and the Strong's Concordance, 6292. Pigo means abominable things. But with that, we'll read part of chapter 65, first five verses. Yeshayahu 65, 1 through 5. Yahweh said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. I said, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. That's us, that's Israel. Unto a rebellious people which walketh in a way that was not good, after their own thoughts. A people that provoketh me to anger continually to my face. That sacrifices in gardens, such as the grottos. That burneth incense upon altars of brick, which remain among the graves and lodge in the monuments, which eat swine's flesh, that's pork, and the broth, or bacon, and a broth of abominable things. Pigle, 6292, the broth of abominable things is in their vessels. And this is a prophetic passage of scripture here in Isaiah 65 and 6. And verse, the last verse here I wanted to read is verse 5. And so the broth of abominable things is in their vessels, which say, stand by thyself, come not near me, for I am holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burneth all the day. Yahweh says, these are a smoke in my nose, a fire that burns all day. So if a doctor told you this, if you eat this, you will die. So Dr. Yahweh is telling you, if you eat this, you will die spiritually, possibly even physically, as my best friend recently died of cancer. And I told him not to eat that stuff. And will you partake of it if he tells you you will die? Well, our beloved brother Paul, or Shaul, more properly, regarding vegetarianism, told us this in chapter 14 of Romans. And then, of course, we'll get over to that other subject there. I think this is the last part. Now, Romans 14, for one believeth that he may eat all things, one believeth that he may eat all things, and other all things that are, I'm going to say this, and this will be correct for sure, all things that are scripturally clean, according to the word, scripturally approved of. One believes he may eat all things, all proper things, not snakes and snails and drinking gasoline or And another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for Yahweh has received him. Oh, but the passage you cannot make anything more out of this than it's talking about vegetarianism versus the ones who are not, you know, are meat eaters. But it doesn't at all infer that pork eating the abomination is to be done or approved of in any way. But also in 1 Corinthians, that was Romans 14, but Corinthians 10:27, and it could seem confusing, and I hope I don't add to that, but if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience sake. Boy, just that, if you stop right there, that seems like then if you went to a foreign country where they had a tradition of eating different things, would you go ahead and so as not to embarrass the host, go ahead and eat that anyway, even though our host in heaven tells us not to do it? And that would be embarrassing, that he would know that here we are breaking his commandment. So if any of you that believe, so there's a important integral part of this passage. If you believe and they bid you to a feast, and if any of them that believe not bid you to a feast, and you be disposed to go, whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols. Now here's the real gist of it all. Offered in idols, offered to idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake, for the earth is Yahweh's and the fullness thereof. So practically, if I walked into a restaurant and they had a statue out there and the food in front of it that was dedicated to the idol that was behind that statue, then I would recognize that that's a place that probably prays for their food and offers it to the idol, and then they sell it to you and bring it to you or to me on our plate. So I would reject it then. But if you didn't know about that part, in ignorance in that situation, it's perfectly okay according to Paul. It's okay as long as the food is kosher. Now if it's not kosher, and you always need to ask that question when the waitress comes to take your order, be sure and ask, are any of these things containing shellfish or pork products, or something along those lines. Any shellfish or pork products, or rather seafood and pork products. So that is contained in an article called Clean and Unclean Food. Hezekiah has one called Health and Holiness on Yahweh. Let's see, JewsForYeshua.com. He has a big, fairly thick, comprehensive book about that, Health and Holiness. My articles are much shorter than his, and there's a little bit of difference, even doctrinally, between the two of us. Just be careful of what you read there. So if somebody bid you to come to a feast, just make it clear. If your earthly doctor told you that if you ate something it would be poisonous, it would kill you, would you still eat it anyway so as not to embarrass the host of the banquet there? Or would you believe the doctor and cooperate with their judgment, and also with our doctor in heaven, with his judgment? I leave the answer to you. Now about those wise virgins and the foolish ones, the 10 of them there, Matthew chapter 25 in the Brit Kadashah. This is in verse 7 in the 25th chapter. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Now there's a lot of symbolism going on here, that the oil represents the Spirit and so on, but I can't quite carry out the equation here, but the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but rather go to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So that kind of goes along with Isaiah 55 and a little bit their parallel logic. Yes. And lest there be not enough for us, and go rather to them that sell and buy for themselves. And while they went to buy, when they went out I think the symbolism here could be when they went out to get saved and to receive the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, then the bridegroom came, then Messiah came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. What's the big issue over eating something? Well, eating was the first sin. Somebody could say it was the third one, but the first sin was eating the wrong thing. That is, eating from the tree of good and evil. Okay, is that good enough? Thank you. As opposed to the tree of life, of course, we all, and Adam and Eve, should have partaken of the tree of life, and we must do that. Yahweh is that great tree of life. And he did say, Messiah speaking us, before I read Psalm 66, we'll go to Matthew 6, but before I do that, put it in gear here. Okay, Psalm 66, verse 18, I say, Tehillim 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, Yahweh will not hear me. Well, that's the least that will happen, the repercussions from regarding iniquity in our heart, let alone doing iniquity. So Matthew said, in Matityahu chapter 6, verse 22, Messiah is speaking here through the Spirit, and Matthew quoted Messiah as saying, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No way, we don't want to do that. Right here in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. We want our eye to be single, not just literally and physically one eye, but in our mind. We want to be single-minded toward Yahweh and not be mixed up with all kinds of fabrications and confusion and fear coming out of the world and out of the media. Oh, there's so much more I could say, but I don't even know that I could, even if I wanted tonight, this afternoon or morning, wherever you are, around the world. But I want to finish here. This is Stephan Yeh. I want to finish by, again, talking about Passover for one paragraph and making a testimony here that years ago I came out of the world's church and furthermore of the churches, and I testify that I will not partake any longer of the RCC or the Protestant Sunday morning communion as a substitute for Messiah's Passover on Aviv 14, the first month of the scriptural year in the spring, so-called, Aviv 14, the same date every year, but falling on different days of the week. You know, the pagan names of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, things like that. It could be on any day of the week, but it's always on the 14th of the month when Messiah partook of that Passover, that last supper for him. So kazak, in Hebrew, the word is kazak, meaning be strong. And let us keep the next Passover on the first month, the 14th day, Aviv 14, sometimes called Nisan 14, a pagan reference there, but epithet. But Aviv 14, it doesn't mean that we have to go around the world and inspect the heads of barley or anything. The apostles never did, Moses never did, nobody ever did that in the scripture. You know, we go by Genesis 1:14, by the reckoning of the sun, moon, and stars to determine Yahweh's feast days, not by an agricultural crop, incidentally. And I'm not engaging with anybody out there. I'm just plain stating the truth, what Scripture says. It's not an agriculture calendar that Yahweh has told us about. Read Numbers 10, I think it is, and Exodus 10. Exodus 10 for sure. Aviv 14 is Passover, and never Easter. I'm against the Last Supper. Let's see, never Easter, which is against the Last Supper of Exodus chapters 10 to 12, which shows us how to keep the true Passover in the 10th chapter of Exodus, and 1 Corinthians 5:7. Let us therefore keep the feast. In other words, the feast of Passover. You can tell that by reading the rest of the context. Not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread. Since that's the symbol that is used there during the Passover meal and the night before their 14th of Aviv. But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Once again, I'll quote that. Therefore, keep the feast of Passover not with the old leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And this is my delight. Is it your delight? Yes, in keeping the Sabbath day and resting and worshiping according to the commandment. Hebrews 4, Leviticus 23, and many, many other places. Delight thyself in Yahweh, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart. The beat goes on. Praise his name. Praise Yahweh today. Thank you for listening. Oh, I delight to do thy will, O my Yah. Yea, thy Torah is within my heart. Shalom. Shalom. And we're listening now to Joe Pearls, a little bit of Joseph here, as he sings about being in the garden with Yahweh. Do you take personal time? All right, Joe.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his. The sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing.